Mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be multiplied unto each of you this morning. Amen. Before we begin, also I was asked to bring greetings from Tri-Cities when we came here. So there's even many there that do come here for parts of the winter at least, and you know them, and they wish that we would bring their greetings to you. So be greeted from those in the Tri-Cities. This morning, we're going to turn to the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians. We're going to begin in chapter 4, verse 13, and go through chapter 5, verse 11. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, we read in Jesus' name. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have heard your holy word this morning. We pray, Father, that this word would find a resting place within our souls, within our hearts. We pray, Father, that through this living word you would lead and guide us, that you would speak unto us, and that you would give us that everlasting peace that comes through your grace, received through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, bless this service this morning. Again, we ask that you would lead and guide us, that you would speak unto us, and that it would be your holy word of truth that we would hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, as he writes to these Thessalonians, these are a congregation that Paul and Timothy and Silas or Silvanus have started there in that land or that city of Thessalonica. And as they begin each one of these letters, it begins with, and we always have attributed this letter to Paul as the writer, and he was the writer of these letters. But it is all in the first one, and in the second letter, it begins with Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see then as Paul, he's writing here, and there's some times when he begins as he does our text with, but I would not have you to be ignorant. Paul is speaking to these Thessalonians as he is writing this letter. But it isn't just Paul. And we know that Paul and Silas, as they traveled on, and they sent Timothy back to lead this church. And we find then in the 15th verse, he says, "For this we say unto you," meaning Paul and Silas and Timothy. But Paul's the author of this letter. And he says then that, "But I would not have you to be ignorant." And it isn't that he would say that he wouldn't want them to be, in today's language, we might say, dumb or stupid. But when he said that he did not want them to be ignorant, that they would understand, that they would know what he's speaking about, concerning them which are asleep. And as it is, I was reminded as I was thinking on this that you remember when Lazarus died, and Jesus told his disciples that Lazarus sleepeth. And they didn't understand. It's like, well, we have heard that he died. And Jesus finally had to tell them plainly that Lazarus is dead. And so we know the rest of the story as Jesus goes there and raises him from the dead. But now here in our text, he says, concerning them which are asleep. These Thessalonian people, they were believers. They were hearing the true word spoken by Paul and Silas and Timothy. And now Paul is telling them that we want you, or I want you, to understand that those which have died, those which are asleep in Christ Jesus, and we'll find that there is a difference between those who sleep in Christ Jesus and those who aren't. Concerning those which are asleep, or those which who have died believing in Christ Jesus. And then he says, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope, that we would not be concerned with those who have gone on before. We all have those. We just heard of Doris this morning. I don't know how many of you know her, but it seemed that she would live forever, those who knew her. She never seemed to get older. She was a wonderful woman. We spent years there in Florida with her. But she has gone to glory. She is now asleep in Christ Jesus, awaiting that day when God will send his Son to receive all of his children, as we'll hear, as we have heard read already. But he says that ye sorrow not, or you are not concerned, or you are not worried about those who have died, but those that, he says, even as others which have no hope. See, there is a difference now here between these two, if we would call them, groups of people, those who have died in Christ Jesus and those who have not. Paul is very clear, I don't want you to worry about those who have died, that have died in Christ Jesus. It's only a moment. It will only be a moment for those who have passed on into glory when Christ will come again. And we even talked about it a little bit last night on how the disciples, Jesus himself, speaking of the end, well, Jesus, when he was preaching, he said, the end of all things is at hand. And we might think, well, Jesus is talking about the end of the world. Well, at that point, no, he wasn't. The end of all things that was at hand was Christ Jesus had come to this earth to redeem mankind. And so now we wait. And the disciples, they were expecting that the end would be soon. They even gave all that they had. They had a community goods, expecting that Jesus was going to return shortly after his ascension. And here we are, some 2,000 years later. I suppose wondering, but knowing that he is coming again. And we might think, well, this is such a long time and we are so far removed from everything that was taking place when Jesus was here or when the Bible was being written, that how is it? Maybe it might even plant some doubts in our mind. Well, maybe it wasn't true what Jesus said. Beware of the devil. He'll come to you in many ways. But we have this confidence that Jesus is coming again. And we trust this word. The next verse he says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." I know it's in our text, but there's many places in the Bible where we hear that the dead in Christ shall rise first. When Jesus returns, the dead in Christ will rise, and then we who are alive will rise to meet them in the air. And that is an absolute truth. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again." I don't think for us here gathered that we need to put that word "if" in there. We absolutely believe that Jesus died and rose again. We celebrate his death and his resurrection every year during the Easter season. We never doubt it. I hope we don't doubt it. Because Jesus did die. He did take our sins upon himself, and he paid the debt that only God could pay. There was no other human who could do this. We could not do this for ourselves. But God, in sending his Son, and to know that the amount that Jesus had to bear, it was greater than any mankind could bear. And Jesus, the pain was so great when he was suffering for our sins, when he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane as he was praying to his Father. And the pain was so great, and this much more than the things that had taken place when Jesus had been tormented, when he went to the cross, when they put the crown of thorns on him. These were all things that I do believe that even a human could possibly, or some strong ones, could bear. But when Jesus was in the garden, and he was there praying to his Father, the suffering became so great that even the Father couldn't look on him. Far beyond what any man could endure. And so we find that we must believe in what Jesus has done to redeem us. There is no part anywhere where we can think that, well, I'm going to live a good life. I'm not going to do all these things that the world does so that I can help my Savior. No. Not at all. Not even the least bit can we help our redemption. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God will bring with them. Those who have died, the graves will open. The graves will not be able to contain them in the same manner that the grave could not contain Christ Jesus. God will open the graves, and all those who have gone before us, all those who, as he says here, are asleep in Jesus, they will rise again with a new body, resurrected by the Lord Jesus Christ, to live forever. And for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them, or shall not precede them which are asleep or which are dead. The dead in Christ will rise first. We read that in a number of places. We will not precede them, but we will join them in the air. We don't have to be concerned that, do I need to die? And I'm talking our natural death. I have thought, I suppose, most of my life that, well, Jesus is coming soon. The Bible tells us that. And I still remember we were having services in the school in Hawkinson when our church was being remodeled, and Pastor Ray Hillman was there preaching. He was an old man, I thought. Well, he was. And he was up there speaking, and he says, I remember as when I was a little boy that the elder preachers would say, Jesus is coming soon. Even as they believed it then, we believe it today. Jesus is coming soon. And so as we go through this life, it is of utmost importance that we follow after Jesus. I know there's many things in this world. We have our families, our homes, and our interests in this world, and they are blessings from God. Absolutely. But that our focus would always be on the return of our Savior. That we would be waiting when he returns. And then, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. When I read this, it reminds me when we can go back into the book of Revelation, where these things that John saw and heard, that this trumpet that he is speaking of is so magnificent that even the dead cannot contain, the grave cannot contain them. When this trumpet of the Lord comes, when the voice of the archangel, and we know that this archangel is Gabriel himself, coming to announce, as he did a number of times in the Bible, as he came to Elizabeth and as he came to Mary, to announce the good news of those that they would bear, that when the archangel Gabriel comes to announce the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that there is none that will be able to not hear or to turn away, but they will all hear that blessed invitation. Come unto me, ye blessed of my Father, as Jesus will say. And we read in Revelation so often that there were these great earthquakes, and there were thunderings, and there were noises, that it was maybe a glimpse of that which is to come when Jesus returns. And everyone, not just those who are the children of God, those who are believers that have their faith firmly rooted in Christ Jesus, but all people, even unto the worst, if we would call them that. And I don't like to call people bad in the fact that God created them. And when we recognize that, well, God created all people. They are his creation in the same sense that he has created us. And shouldn't it be our duty that this wonderful love and grace that we know through Christ Jesus, that we would bring this message to the world, that we would bring it to those who are in unbelief. And I quite often speak this way, and I hope you understand that I'm preaching to myself also, because I ain't any better. It seems that the fear of persecution will keep our mouths closed. And I know there are some, and I just marvel at them, who are like they don't have any sense of control of what they're saying, and they just freely speak about God to the world and how wonderful it is. And oh, that we could all be that way, because when Jesus comes, we must be ready. We must be, and ready, I don't mean that we have kept all of God's laws, that we have lived a perfect life. We hear of those examples that took place in the Bible, especially that young rich man who says, I have kept all of your commandments, he tells Jesus. Jesus says, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. That is the important part. Come and follow me. He's not saying that because you have given away all that you have, that you will follow me. It's like, no, that your focus would be on Christ Jesus, on what he has done for you. And it's so wonderful, again, as Jesus prays, and we hear this over and over, that Jesus, well, he prayed in the garden, and he prayed a number of times. And now as Jesus prays that high priestly prayer, he's praying to his Father, I have lost none that you have given me. I have kept them. You see, the work that Jesus came here to do, he did it completely. We talked last night a little bit about prayer. And it is wonderful that we would pray to God. He wants us to pray to him. And his desire is that we would pray to him. He wants to hear from us. Not just to hear that, oh, we need this or we need that, or this person over here is sick and they need healing. But he wants to converse with us. We even mentioned last night that a father wants to hear from his children. It ain't that they would just go on out of our lives and we would never hear from them. They are special to us. They're precious. We want to hear from them. And we don't go near to the extent that God does. And we talked a bit last night about rabbit trails, and here we are. In the 8th chapter of Revelation, right after the 7th seal was open, in the 3rd verse he says, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints unto the golden altar which was before the throne. He's speaking here of our prayers. They are so precious to God that they were given with much incense. And we today might, I don't know, maybe we've in our time have smelt some incense, and some may be appealing and some maybe not. But this was a beautiful smell, something that God loved to smell. And it was associated with our prayers. And also then, but listen to this, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar before the throne of God. How wonderful it is that God hears our prayers. And oh, that we would continually and always pray to him. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. These prayers that we pray. And sometimes we think that, we don't know if God even hears us. We question it. Oh, he hears every one of your prayers. And then the devil will come. Well, yeah, but you didn't do it in the correct manner. You didn't fall down on your knees and pray aloud, or whatever manner that he might come to us with. But know this, that God knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. When we pray, and so often as we do in the night time when we are laying in our beds, we pray silently. And God hears those prayers. And they are precious to him. And so back to the text, verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What do you suppose Paul was thinking? Obviously that the end was at hand, that Jesus was returning soon. He says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That he is saying that we which are still alive, we will be caught up together with those who have died, those who sleep in Christ Jesus. I'm sure they had no doubt that the end would come soon, during their time that they were alive. And as he ends this chapter in the same way that he ends our text, he says, wherefore, because of these things that he had just spoken to them, he says, comfort one another with these words. Speak these words of comfort to one another. And so often, when we hear these words, comfort one another, our natural way that we would see those who need rebuke. And we think that we are comforting them with these words. There is a place for rebuke, but there is a place where we would, as we do in our congregations, we gather together, and for this reason, that we would uplift each other. We are all, as it is, the children of God, and we know that we are not individuals, but that we are a combined body. Jesus tells us in a number of ways, and in ways as we hear the parables, and as Jesus, I think maybe it was this Sunday or last Sunday, the calendar text was about the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone being Jesus Christ, and all the other living stones that were there within are a part of this building of Jesus, who is the chief cornerstone. Without the whole building would fall. A number of examples. The tree. We are all part of that tree. of which Jesus is the root. And so we comfort one another. And I hope that we wouldn't go to each one of, or some maybe of those who are gathered together to hear the word of God, that we would go there and we would begin to discourage them, tear them down, tell them what they're doing wrong. But no, lift them up. And with love, they will find where they have. And I can tell you, there's none that is perfect. There's none. We all have fallen in, and not always in the same way. But we all have fallen short of the glory of God. And so then that as we recognize that we are not a better than the next person, that we would then with this word of God, we would uplift each other. We would encourage one another. And that's what he means. Comfort one another with these words. He's telling these Thessalonian people, comfort each other with the word of God. And now as he goes on to the fifth chapter, being led from what we just heard. And he says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Of the times and the seasons. And when we hear this, we don't use this today, really. And what does it mean? And again, we can hear of these times. I believe it was in the Old Testament and then again in Revelation where there was a time and times. And so we don't quite understand this translation. But when he says that there are, but of the times and the seasons, he's meaning that times is a period of time. Maybe it is this period of time when Jesus was born until he died. That would be a period of time. A time from when Jesus ascended into heaven until he returns again is a period of time. And so he says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. And again, also, the seasons which are specific points in time. Maybe it was Paul writing to the Thessalonians. Maybe it was some other event that took place. They were seasons. And he says, and of these things, ye have no need that I write unto you. But for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. And this is a verse that we hear this, we've heard this many times, I'm sure all of us have, that the day of the Lord, the returning of Jesus, there will be no warning that tomorrow I'm going to come. And if you have experienced a thief in the night, remember, one time I was sleeping, my wife was taking care of the baby, and we heard our car start. We were actually of this mindset that we wanted to get rid of the car, and it's like, well, why don't somebody just steal it? But when they did, we were upset. And so it is something that there is no warning. The car starting was our first warning, and it was too late. When we hear this voice of the archangel, when we hear the trump of God, it will be too late for those who do not believe. It will be an instant moment. And so how precious or how much do we need to proclaim this word to the world? I don't believe in the rapture and the 1,000 years reign when, well, I suppose that there would be a chance then. That, well, if I missed it the first time, I can get in the second time. No. We are living in that millennial period today. And some will say, well, it's 1,000 years. Take that up with God. That this 1,000 years is our 1,000 years. It's a period of time. And so, they which are alive, well, no, moving on. But of the, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And as it will be, Jesus will return. And for those of you who have been with your loved ones, been there when they have passed away, I think I've only been there in all my years when one person died, when I was in their presence. That was my dad. And even then, I had full confidence in his confessions as he lay on his deathbed that he was a child of God. There was no doubts. And I don't know, it was, I guess I was there as strength for Mom. It was me and Mom in the bedroom when he died. And in some way, God gave me the ability to be strong for her. But I can tell you when it really hit me. When he was at the back of the hearse and they rolled him out, and as he gets to the hearse, they pulled the cover over his face. And I knew that was when he was gone from this earth. And so we understand how it is that the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. We didn't know when he would draw his last breath. I remember being with one of my aunts as she was dying. It's like, surely that was her last breath. And then she'd kind of cough and breathe again. We finally did leave and go home, and a few days later she died. But we have no knowledge of when one will draw their last breath. All we can do is be ready when Jesus comes. And I suppose, as it was in the Roman Empire, it was a slogan that they would use, peace and safety. We could probably hear that today. People talk of peace and safety. Well, maybe that's a good thing. Because what does the Bible say? When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman, and a woman with child, and they shall not escape. When it seems, as it does in our life, that, well, we got many years. I suppose I used to think that. Now I begin to see that, well, even if I do live to an old age, there isn't that many years left. I think of, well, if I lived to Dad's age, I would have about 20, 23 years. You look back 23 years ago and it doesn't seem that long ago. And so, when they say peace and safety, we will hear this in the world. And I suppose they believe this. But when it is least expected, as that thief in the night, then sudden destruction, those who are in unbelief will come to that judgment day. We have no fear of the judgment. We are the children of God. But those who are in unbelief, when they come to that day, and it will come when they least expect it, when they think everything is good and safe, then Jesus will return. It says, as a travail upon a woman with child, and we all here, I think, understand that. The women especially experienced it, but we understand there is no way that when the time has come that we can prevent that child from leaving the mother's womb. Cannot stop it. And so, destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. We look forward to this day when Jesus comes. Oh, that it could be today! Which we say that, and then our thoughts go to those whom we know that are in unbelief. That should be enough to prompt us to go and speak to those ones who we care about that are in unbelief. You are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the light nor of darkness. As Paul is speaking to these Thessalonian congregation, as we can today, you are all of the day. You are of the light. I'm just going to go read in the first epistle of John about this light. First chapter, verses 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. For if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. You see the difference between those who are of the day and those who are of the night. That is the same as those who are a child of God and those who are in unbelief. And then he says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And when he is speaking of sleep here, I believe he is speaking of unbelief. Do not go and partake of the world. And when I use this word world, I don't mean those things of God's creation that are good. But I'm speaking of those things that are from the devil, that would draw us away from God. A spiritual death. But they that sleep in the night, those who are spiritually dead, they sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Put this armor of God on. Go to the sixth chapter of Ephesians and read about this armor of God, that we would put it on to protect us from the devil. And so he says, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Isn't it interesting how the first thing that he lists here, faith and love? And so this breastplate, where do we get it from? All of this armor of God, where do we get it from? God supplies it to us. Where do we receive faith? God supplies it to us. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God knew that there was no possibility that a single one of us could satisfy his wrath. Not a single one. But what did he do? But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way. Oh, we could go through the Old Testament and we could go through all the laws of God and we could try to live a perfect life. We could do all those things that the law would call us to do. And as that rich young man, we would still fail. Even if we were able to keep them, we would still fail. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says then, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Precious words. That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Meaning whether we are alive or we have died, we live together with him. And then he concludes again as he did the last chapter. He says, wherefore, comfort yourselves, uplift each other, encourage each other, and edify or build up one another. Oh, we need this building up. I know even as we are ones who generally we go to church on Sunday morning, maybe on Wednesday night, but throughout the week, how is your journey? We need uplifting, encouraging. Every day. And he concludes, even as also ye do, or even as you are doing. He tells the Thessalonian congregation, continue to do that which you are doing, helping, comforting, encouraging each other. In Christ Jesus. In his blessed name, amen. Let us give thanks and receive the benediction. Father, we thank you this morning for this word of truth that you have provided for us, the words that you have given to us, the grace that you give to us. Father, we thank you. And we pray that you would always lead and guide us so that when that day comes that we would leave this world, that we would sleep in Christ Jesus, your dear Son. Father, keep us as we go from here, not knowing the days that are ahead, whether it be today, tomorrow, or however many days that you give to us, that you would ever be our guide on this journey of life, and that on that last day that we will hear those most blessed words, from your Son Jesus, come, ye blessed of my Father. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.